The food, the visits, the help, fully appreciated. I'm so thankful for a family of believers that truly believe in serving. So I'm going to throw a couple things out at you this week. First of all, to keep in prayer, and if there's something that we can help with, our friend Diane Marshall has her knee replacement surgery tomorrow morning, and she lives alone. So I've not heard from her yet as to what she may have need of afterwards, but we're staying in touch that way, and we'll get that figured out. If she needs anything, we may make some phone calls to give her a hand, but if you don't hear from us, just keep praying for her that it goes well, that she recovers well. She's not only dealing with knee problems, but she is she's no longer in remission for cancer. And so that's added to her journey at this point. So we're just going to hold her up, that her pain, that her success of healing and recovery will be just so amazing. And we will do that. For others in our home situations or in our church family that are not able to be with us because of health problems, just know that we serve a God who cares enough to hear us, to heal us, to help us, to be there for us and to deliver us. So we pray that for all of those who are in that area. The Haven Pregnancy Support Center. If you haven't met Gina yet, you really need to. She is a live wire. Like, go, go, go. Her heart and her passion has been the impetus, I believe, and the prayers of people supporting has been the impetus that has changed and transformed, even throughout COVID, the way that support was given to women with unplanned or unthought of pregnancies. It's happened. And we have lined ourselves up with her and the cause of supporting moms in this situation. It has transformed so much in that the name has changed from the Victoria Pregnancy Crisis Support Center to the Haven Pregnancy Support Center. And they now have a medical component. They offer nursing care, prenatal nursing. They offer imaging. They are looking to hire a RN to help them to that end, to offer these medical supports for women who come in and have no other supports elsewhere. And so we stand with her, first of all, in prayer. Secondly, if you feel this is something to follow, just follow the instructions in the pamphlet for financial donations. My understanding is they have chosen to not avail themselves too much of any government funding. So they rely on Jesus funding. So let's be Jesus here for them. In that, we have a testimony from one of the mums. The pregnancy support centers are throughout the province. Last summer, you heard from Trevor Kempner, who is the director of the pregnancy center in Nanaimo. And I don't know where this mum is from, but I'm just going to read you a Mother's Day announcement for the Campaign of Hope, which is starting this today on Mother's Day and will continue and conclude on Father's Day. So, Amy. Her life was forever changed when she found herself facing an unplanned pregnancy. Feeling overwhelmed and uncertain, Amy reached out to Haven Pregnancy Support for this challenging time. Due to the support we have been able to provide through Haven, Amy has found clarity and courage she needed to navigate her journey. Recently, Amy welcomed her baby girl Zoe into the world. For Amy, the experience was nothing short of surreal and magical. She attributes the strength to continue to the support she has received during her pregnancy. Reflecting on this journey, she acknowledges the crucial role Haven has played in her decision-making process and expresses deep gratitude for the impact this support had on her life. As we consider Amy's support and profound impact of this organization, we are reminded of the invaluable role that donors like yourselves play in making stories like hers possible. Your generosity enables Haven to offer vital assistance, guidance, to individuals like Amy who are facing unwanted, unexpected pregnancies at the time, empowering them to make informed decisions and find hope in uncertain times. On behalf of Amy and countless others, Haven would like to extend, can't talk right now for some reason, maybe some tears here, heartfelt gratitude for your ongoing support. Haven Pregnancy Support Clinic is a Christ-centered community health organization dedicated to providing information and holistic support to individuals facing unexpected pregnancies, empowering them to make informed decisions from a place of hope. I encourage you to support this ministry and put action to Jesus' call when he said, "Brothers and sisters, whenever you have done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me." You can join Haven in this important work in several ways, by through prayer, by volunteering to assist specific clients with practical needs, and by contributing to the annual Campaign of Hope. This campaign runs from Mother's Day through Father's Day. Father, in your mighty name, we pray that your blessing will pour out over all who value life. Father, we pray that as we hold up your word for our lives, that we will find ourselves in the position of every day wanting to realign ourselves with your purposes for us. That is the highest calling, that we come into line with why and how and who you have designed us each to be. So, Father, as we hear more from your word today, may this be not just word, not just neat stories, not just a motivational. Father, may we be listening for your heart in our lives today, in all of us, in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, last weekend, Louisa, who's up at the media center up there, learning and having a great time and still smiling at us. So for that, I say a humongous thank you. Louisa and I went to a women's retreat run by one of our credential holders who works out of Hong Kong and actually is living in the apartment right beside where Aaron and Rebecca, Rorta, and the kids live. They all work out of the same building and live in the same building. So that was kind of a neat little tie-in as to how big our world is, but yet how interconnected as a church when we are believers together, how this all becomes the place to be. And the Leanne McAllister was the host and chair with another young lady from Alberta. Her name was Tiffany. And they put together what's called the Zoe Network Life Retreat. Now, Zoe Life is a parachurch organization that Leanne McAllister has done with her husband, Darcy, and it speaks to assisting, initially it started with this, but is now going towards other groups as well, assisting women in finding and understanding their identity in Christ. Because even as Leanne and Darcy have traveled around the world and mostly minister through Hong Kong, they're actually heading into Cambodia in a few weeks, women around the world still process their identity in very challenging ways. And so her goal is bringing it's a course. We can actually sign up for a video session, a series of video sessions for our own ladies, and to have that conversation about what our identity would look like in Christ, what it should look like, what's it founded on. And I think overall, most of us have a good sense of, because for those of us who have chosen to give our lives over to Jesus, we've got a sense that we want to be like him, right? So this was kind of a contemplative sort of, lots of questions to make us think about who and our personality, how God designed each of us, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're not giving each other secrets away, Louisa and I. We had some amazing times of fellowship with small groups and learned some amazing things about each other. But that's in a place of safety there, and that's what it should be. I have been pondering this for the whole week. God, what is the word for our women, our church, for our community, and how we do what we do? What is that? And I kept coming back to the outline we had at the retreat. So yes, the title of my sermon is Masterpiece, the Ezra Call Challenge. And it first started off with Ephesians 2 and 10. And they put it in our little workbook. I'm just using my workbook to read my scriptures because it's a nice size print. And the New Living Translation says for Ephesians 2 and 10, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Now, I'm not great at big word studies, but I thought, well, masterpiece, this is in the NLT. What other versions have this? Very few do. Some, like the NIV that you see up on the screen here, say handiwork. Others say workmanship. But they all focus in on God has a plan. God had a plan back in Genesis chapter 1 when he said, "Let us make mankind in our image." Prior to the mankind in God's image, God declared that there'd be light, there was light. Let there be dark, there was dark. Let there be earth, there was earth. Let there be sea, waters, there was waters. Let there be vegetation, trees, it was happening. Let there be plants and animals and all things. And it happened because he said, "Let it be." And he called it all good. Then he said, "Let us make mankind in our image." It is a reference to that God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved in the creation of mankind as we know mankind. Interesting part of the verse, and you'll have to ask Pastor Rolf, I had some fun wrestling with this because my brain does kids ministry sometimes, so I'm trying to figure out in cartoon format in my brain, how did God create mankind in his image, and it was male and female, and yet he felt that somewhere along the road, because Adam was doing a lot of the stewardship in the garden alone, that he had to make woman. So I'm just trying to do this whole line thing, and it was hurting my brain. So I kind of said, well, here's where the rubber meets the road. Adam was alone in the garden. There were two of every other thing there. Adam was the only creation in the garden that the Spirit of God breathed life into, because the intention was for a spiritual relationship. The intention of Adam in the garden was that Adam would be in there stewarding for with worship and with obedience of all the animals, of all the garden. It was placed in his care. But Adam was the only one of his kind in the garden. So God said, "I will make a helper for him, an easer," E-Z-E-R. First time I'd ever heard it was at this retreat this past weekend. And I did a quick, got into a Hebrew dictionary. I'm hoping I'm okay on this. I'm not pronouncing it properly, probably. But easer translates to from Hebrew into helper in the English. And it's only used two times in the Bible, in Genesis 1 and twice in Genesis, three times. Genesis 1 as mankind, male and female. And then in Genesis 2, it's used twice to describe the woman as God created her to be a suitable support, a partner, is some of the phrases that come up in some of the commentaries. And in my mind, I'm hearing this and seeing this as an equal purpose with complementary fulfillment. There are things that the woman could do that Adam couldn't do. There are things that Adam could do that Eve couldn't do. But they were created equally. When God told the rest of the earth that let it be, and it was, it happened. And my kids' ministry, like poof, it appeared. When God created man, I didn't bring any dust John, this place is very clean, wherever you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I should have brought my own dust. I have some at home. So God went to a dry place that had dust. And he used the dust to make this, our physical being. That's what God did. He didn't just say, let it be, poof, and there's man. He used the dust. And there was a purpose in that. There's a verse that says, from dust we come, and to dust we will return. Because our physical body is what holds us here in this time and place right now. But the important part God had was when he breathed his spirit into man to cause man to come alive to the presence of God. Not just to stand up and go, oh, I can breathe. It wasn't meant for that. It was meant for an awakening of the spiritual relationship between God and man. Now, Adam wasn't really alone. He had God. He had fellowship with God. He had one-on-one, personal, intimate, ongoing, 24/7 relationship with God. If God said, oh, that plum tree needs a little bit of help, can you, if that did, you know. While Adam was alone, he wasn't without God. But he was alone in the sense of having someone like him that he could have fellowship with. Everything else had partners. That was just what that was. So woman was created while Adam slept. Adam, I don't think, got to see the actual miracle. The miracle that God created Adam with out of dust. God took, for lack of a better phrase, we always hear the word that he took a rib, but you have to get through some stuff to get to the ribs, people. Right? So at the end of Genesis 2, Adam declares, woman is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Our physical DNA is exactly the same. Our physical body was created by God to be alike for Adam and Eve to have fellowship. But we were also firstly created to have fellowship with God because we were created in God's image. And when the Spirit of God awakened man, woman was also awakened and became this easer helper. None of the commentaries have any phrasing about this was a subordinate role, this was a whatever. This was a, they worked together in a partnership. They had purposes to work together. And in all likelihood, they probably were just fine at it. Because this is obviously still before the fall. So it was like, yeah, I'll take care of that. You do that. I'll do this. You do that. Whatever. My favorite phrase right now for someone, and it's not very super spiritual, but Adam was no longer left unsupervised. There's a story behind that. You can ask Pastor Ralph. He'll tell the truth on it. We enjoy it. But they were complementary. Now, in our day and age, and in our time, and how we function with each other, one of the things I've learned over the years in different jobs I've had has been to use what's called personality assessments, because that's, we would use it to help, what's my strength, what's your strength, what's my weakness, what's your weakness, how can we work together, how do we build each other up? So someone in their infinite wisdom and absolute wonderful sense of humor came up with a list of Myers-Briggs prayers. If anybody knows about Myers-Briggs, it is a personality assessment. It helps you figure out if you're an extrovert or an introvert, if you're like sensory things or you're intuitive, if you like to process things by your feelings or by thinking, if you like to make decisions with judging something or perceiving it. These are four big categories. So, I'll start with mine. I think it's only fair. Mine is ESTJ. And this is, I'm not stuck on this. I have things I can do outside of this, but that's why it's an assessment. It's not a test. Everybody has a personality. Don't let anybody tell you you don't, because you do. ESTJ prayer is, God, help me not to try to run everything. But if you need some help, just ask me. So, let's see. An ISTJ is, Lord, help me to relax about insignificant details beginning tomorrow at 11:41 Eastern Central Time. ESTP, extroverted sensory thinking process. God, help me to take responsibility for my own actions, even though they're not usually my fault. Oh, this is my favorite one. ISFJ, introverted sensory feeling judgmental. Lord, help me to be more laid back and help me to do it exactly right. The last one, just I have a whole list here, but we'll just take this as the last one. The ENTJ is extroverted, intuitive, thinking, but judgmental. Lord, help me slow down and not rush through anything. Blah, blah, blah. That's the end of the sentence for an ENTJ. They just zoom, go. When we look at how diverse we are just in this room, just in your families, just in your work team, just in your community, in your school, who you hang out with, your sports teams, whatever, there are amazing things that happen called dynamics between people. You seen them? Have anybody seen dynamics between people? Some of them are interesting. Just go on Facebook. They get really wild. Or watch some of these Survivor shows or whatever, and you get these people going, oh, I'm going to win this, but I have to do something nasty to somebody else in order to do it. Like that's quite the dynamic. This is not the dynamics we're talking about how God intended us to be. Because the very first, foremost thing, God's purpose in creating mankind was in his image. To have fellowship, to have a spiritual, live relationship with his creation. So mankind, male and female, were intended to be in perfect relationship with God. Because while they're still exploring things, their premise, their understanding from Adam and Eve's point of view is that God knows what is good for them. And they left it at that. They trusted him with that at that moment. And God knowing what's good for us is perhaps something we struggle with at times. Like, God, are you really sure that's for me? Because I don't feel like that's the case here whatsoever. Or maybe I should this, or maybe I should that. And we get ourselves distracted to enjoy the good from God. Humankind must trust God and obey him. For if we disobey, we will be left to decide for ourselves what is good and what is not good. In our modern age, such a prospect may seem desirable that we get to choose what we think is good for us. Because you know what? Oh, it just feels right. Oh, well, I think they're wrong, so I'm just going to judge them. And I think this, and it becomes I-centric. It becomes all about where my part, I feel of myself is in life. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that the God of the universe created me to be in fellowship with him. And in order for that to happen, I need to worship him and obey him. Worship part isn't necessarily hard, but the obeying part is interesting some days. But yet, it was the plan. It was the plan in the beginning, and it is still the plan today. So, Genesis 2:18 says, Then the Lord God said, It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. And the answer today, for us, all of us, who have to make that path back to trusting God implicitly with everything, giving him everything, There's a prayer in Ephesians, and I'm just so glad it was in this particular study because it's one of my favorites for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's God's word. Secondly, it was my mom's favorite prayer. Anytime, and I've shared the story of my mom's health issues and how everything declined gradually and steadily towards the day when she did pass. And every time something diminished in her system, my mom prayed this. Ephesians 3:16-17. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. When we are rooted in God and we regularly seek his face and we stay in his word and we stay in prayer and we stay in a place where people help us maybe be accountable or we help them or we fellowship together and we rejoice together, that grows our roots. Now, one fun thing I learned here coming to BC was it always surprised me our first winter here how these very, very 40 and 60 foot tall trees in a windstorm right over and break houses and hurt things and destroy things. And so I was just trying to figure this out because from Ontario, like windstorms happen, but like even in a tree in the property beside ours, we had a pretty serious storm and we got to see the ground go, ooh, because the tree was, you know, slowly tilting. And then someone explained it to me. It's the root system. That in areas where there is frost and winter for a fair amount of time, the roots of anything have to grow deeper and go down further to get below the frost zone to get nourishment from the ground. So the deeper the roots, the less likely the tipping. And it made sense because in BC at that point, well, we still are into BC anyway, we don't get these deep frosts of minus 32 for 60 days in a row where you can skate on the pond because it's made naturally here. Trees and plants here don't, while we have a longer growing season, we don't have a deeper growing season for some of the things that grow here. And that's why some of the trees will fail. Their roots will not go down deep enough and spread out enough to help hold them in place. This prayer says, I pray that from God's unlimited, glorious resources, he will empower you with inner strength in your spirit, by his spirit, I should say. God has more than enough of what we need to grow our roots down deep enough for us to remember that we are created in his image. We were created to worship and obey him. We were created to be fruitful and multiply. And yes, that went for both Adam and Eve. Because not only was it for children, it was for ensuring the stewardship of the world around them. They were responsible for it. And I know we have our conversations here and environmental issues and stuff like that. We are responsible for everything God has placed at our disposal. We need to take care of it as best we can. Am I a Green Party member? No. This is not political. No. This is making sure that I am spiritually aware of what God has placed within me and using it for his glory. So what happens when life is not so much fun? A few months ago, we had a lady here, Joanne Goodwin. Remember her? Those of you who are here for that. She spoke on a passage in Jeremiah 29 about how the people were in exile and whining and complaining and, God, we don't like it here. Like, why are we still here? Why aren't you delivering us? And on and on. And Jeremiah 29, verse 10b and 11. This is in the message, actually. I will show up and I'll take care of you as I've promised and bring you back home. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. We need to call on him. Because what he was teaching the exiles in Babylon then was, you need to be productive where you are. He actually said, marry their people. Make a home. Plant your gardens. Make a life for yourself. And yes, we are all here for now. Our actual home is heaven. We'll be very, very blessed and keen to get there, as we were talking about those who are already singing in heaven. This is a passageway. This is the highway. Not that, well, that is, but I'm talking spiritually. We are in a place of transition all the time because this is not our home. This flesh is not going to last forever. The buildings won't last forever. And all the stuff we see going on in the world today gets us in a place of feeling, God, are you even paying attention? Do you hear what we're going through? Do you have a sense of what's going on? Why can't it feel right? What's going on? Why am I not sensing you in this relationship you've designed us to be in perfect communion with you? One of the, my favorite phrase is to make, if you get a bowl full of lemons, make some lemonade or, you know, that type of a thing. Not all of life's events are just lemons to make into lemonade. Some of them are pretty catastrophic and they're a challenge and we know that. So we're not diminishing anybody's situation you're in. What I wish to do is lift up the fact, a fact, that Jesus loves each and every one of us so much that his plan for us is perfect and he is asking us to remain rooted and grounded in him. And for those moments where it doesn't feel clear, it seems like it's stuck, maybe God is waiting for us to, and I have a neat list here from a clergy coaching page that I follow on Facebook. Maybe you're not stuck. Maybe God is waiting for you to move in faith without knowing the outcome. Maybe God is waiting for you to forgive even when it feels impossible. Maybe God is waiting for you to obey in the small ways first. Maybe God is waiting for you to embrace a season of quiet with him. Maybe God is waiting for you to learn a lesson before you lead others. Maybe God's waiting for you to let go of what you think it must look like. Maybe God is waiting for you to allow him to minister to your broken places. Maybe to stop leaning on your own understanding. Maybe God is waiting for you to address your excuses. And maybe he's waiting for us to be strong enough to carry us to what he's called us to do. So sometimes the waiting is part of the process. Just like winter is a season that drives roots deeper, maybe it's our season. Maybe it's your season. Maybe it's my season. I know I wasn't incredibly patient after about 2 weeks after the surgery. At that point, my brain was like, zing, let's go do stuff. My knee was saying, yeah, we're not going there yet. Oh, that's not me, but that's okay. Maybe God is asking us to put aside the things that are distracting us from him. The things that we thought were cool or great or wonderful or we had to have or it has to be this way or that way. And maybe God is just waiting for us to be ready for something he has to do through each and every one of us. And that's going to be exactly what God has for each of you, whether it's our coffee team, our ministry teams, our times we spend with our families, the word of God we bring to them. Maybe it's just a waiting time. Another thought that was brought up at this time was that it possibly may not be God's will if it's always really difficult. Like you're really focused on, God, I really want my life to look like A, B, C, and D, but yet something in here is just driving me bananas and I can't figure it out. Maybe God is saying, let it go and let me figure it out for you. In other words, Ephesians 1 and 11, I'll read this. It says, in him, Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Very long sentence, very clear sentence for God's got it. And we have to let him do what he wants to do in our lives. We can get stuck in things, but there are things that we think, oh, I need to go this way. And yet God is saying, this is the path. Well, there's a door here. I can't open it. What's going on? A closed door or an open door from God needs to be paid attention to. An open door, you can check and see, is that what God has for me? A closed door just might be, God doesn't want me to go there, and I'm okay with that. So maybe stuck is just a period of waiting for God to do what he does best in his provision and purposes that he has for us from the beginning of time. And as we step out, finally, in faith, just giving it to God, letting him have it, letting him say, okay, God, what do I do with this? He says, give it to me. And that's what he's waiting for us to give to him the things we think are important to us, because maybe, just maybe, his plan that he predestined before the beginning of time has far greater purpose and process for our lives than we could even fathom now. How many are in a position now that you'd never thought you'd be here a year ago or 2 years ago or 5 years ago? God is wanting to work in each of our lives. His will, that we are submitted to him. We are created to be the Ezer, helpers, suitable partners. We're made in the likeness of God. Mankind was not just a poof and there you are. There was a design and a vision. God's design and vision was for us to have fellowship with him. That was even before other stuff got created, because he was before. We are to be fruitful and multiply. We are to worship and obey. This journey now is not meant to be done alone, no matter what our life circumstance is, because here's Ephesians 3. I got to turn my little papal page here. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17. I have to go into here. This is my mom's favorite part. Because her physical world was rather small with her disabilities and her not being able to travel or work or whatever. And my mom's favorite verses were, I'm going to start in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. That's what God created us for, our inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We could not possibly think of any of the answers of why God has done what he has done. He is asking us to trust him and to obey him and to worship him and to serve him. End of sentence. Period. Not a yeah, but. Well, God, what if? I don't think someone likes my outfit. I'm going to be really upset about that. None of that should, in this process, have an impact on how we do what we do. Because if our identity is in God, we are made in His image. And then Ephesians says, and we've been renewed in Christ. And we have the power of His Holy Spirit to walk us through anything and everything in whatever the waiting period is in our lives, to bring us to a maturity in Him. And that brings us to the point of Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now, glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work with us, to accomplish infinitely more. I probably have just read. No, I haven't yet. To accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and forever. Amen. It is occurring to me in this moment, we have had millennia of generations of people who have lived by obeying God and giving Him glory for their circumstances. Because here we are today. We are here because people chose to trust God enough to obey Him and to give Him glory, even if they did not understand all the details when stuff happens. We've heard it said by worship leaders, we've heard it said other things, that worship sometimes just takes things to a different place. So does obeying God, even if we don't understand. Anytime we step out in faith, serving God in our relationship with Him, and letting Him work through us in our own lives, our homes, our families, our communities, our schools, our jobs, our neighborhoods, the groups we volunteer with, we present Jesus Christ. And we get to pray for people that they will know, come to know how deep, how wide, how long, how amazing the love of Jesus Christ is. Because that's what He's called us to do, to love Him that way, for Him to love us that way, and then we extend that to others around us. If the worship team would like to come back, my other fun part of today is they've picked my favorite song about the Holy Spirit. So I've asked them if I can stay up here. When we trust His plan and provision, as it says in Jeremiah 29,